Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Old Rolls. I'm Ronnie. I'm with Ben today. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Good to see you, honey.
Good to see you, too. What a day.
What a day. Am I right?
What a day.
Guys, we are going to be back out on the road for the next few weeks, and that's our end. So listen up so you can come. Next week, March 31st, we start in Denver, Colorado at the Summit Theater. The next 2 days later, April 2nd, we're in San Francisco at the Independent. That one is sold out, so SARS. And thanks to everyone who bought tickets. We love sold out places. And then we're going to Detroit, Columbus, Cleveland, and we're going to finish up with a 3-night Texas stint, Austin, Houston, and Dallas. Go get your tickets for the Hunky Dory Tour at watchwhatcrappens.com. You can also find our tour merch. We've got a bunch of concert shirts. We've got coffee mugs. We've got some crappy stuff, some new Crappens leggings, and also Crappies emoji leggings, you know, the poop emoji leggings. So go get all of that stuff at crappensmerch.com.
And today we are talking Real Housewives of Orange County. I just want to also say that on Monday nights, we do take a seat where we talk about Bravo gossip. And there was a bombshell that dropped this week about Roni. So we will talk about that, I'm sure, Monday night, which is, in case you didn't hear, that Roni is being completely recast with a new, totally new cast of characters. But there's going to be like a Roni spinoff with the old characters. It's crazy. We'll talk about that on Monday.
Yes, and this is a Crappens On Demand episode, so you can watch this video if you are a Crappens On Demand subscriber on Patreon. It's also where all our bonus episodes are, etc. So go to patreon.com/Crappens to sign up for that. And hi, people watching.
Hi.
Okay, so here we are, Real Housewives of Orange County. This episode is called The Exorcism of Gina, so I had high hopes.
Yeah, man, I've never felt so bad for a demon before. Like, damn, you really, like, imagine you're a demon, you're trying to like get in, like possess someone, and then you realize that you've possessed Gina. You're like, oh.
It's like, did I make a wrong turn in hell? How did I get here?
Is this the hell for hell? I don't understand.
Why is there so much word art? I mean, Jesus. There's even word art that says Jesus. What the hell? Who am I possessing? Yeah, the Jesus.
So we're in the middle of a fight between Shannon and Gina because Shannon's trying to be like, hey, why are you going around saying that I'm jealous of you? Your ego has just like really gotten so big. And Gina is like not, she's in denial about any sort of ego growth. And Shannon's like, okay, well, Gina, you and I sat down to dinner and you asked me a question. You said, do you even have friend Shannon? And I'm still reeling from that. Reeling for reeling, okay? Because what's interesting is that you have made no effort whatsoever. I have invited you to so many different places. We went to the Spanx outlet. We went to TJ Maxx. We went to Bristol Farms. And where have you invited me? Where have you invited me?
Well, I wanted to invite you to my launch party, but now I don't even know.
Oh, wow. So she can come give her Instagram followers, you know, your free advertising. Fuck off with that. That's what a shitty answer. Like, I was going to invite you to my press event to get all of your press. Gina's such an ass. So Shannon's like, okay, well, let's hold that hostage now. Let's hold that hostage. Anyone heard from... No, go ahead.
No, I just went, huh. I did like a huh in solidarity with you. I didn't have anything to say. I was just going, huh. Because I sometimes just do a Shannon, huh. On the side.
So, yeah. So, wow, Gina, not going to get to come to your event? Whoa. She goes, I'm not holding it hostage. I'm being realistic with you. Yeah, the last 5 years, I haven't invited you anywhere. You know why? Because I haven't been inviting anyone anywhere because my life is a fucking disaster. Okay, we get it, Gina. You've gone through some things, okay? No one's taking that away from you, but shut the fuck up already, okay? You're happy. You're in a cute, albeit tiny little house. And you've got this like cute-ish boyfriend. It's kind of like Fred Flintstone. Maybe possibly wants to marry you eventually. you've got a lot of good things. I'm so sick of Gina talking about how hard her life is compared to everybody else. And it doesn't trigger me until she's talking to Shannon. You want to talk about someone going through some shit? Rewind.
This definitely feels like a one-way friendship because, you know, let's not forget that Gina spent her first season and a half, really, you know, in shit with her marriage and everything. But she also, like, she pulled a lot of energy from people around her. And, you know, and Shannon was there for that. I mean, Shannon also thrives off that. Like, Shannon literally loves misery. But Gina did pull from that. And, like, you know, just because your life is shitty doesn't mean you can't say, let's go to Starbucks. I mean, that is what Starbucks is there for 60% of the time, right?
Right.
And now she's saying that, like, her life is better now. Her life is better than ever. So it's like, well, that's great, too. So then where are the invitations? If you're saying you didn't invite her around because your life was shitty, but now that your life is good, there should be, like, Starbucks left and right. Let's go to the bar. Let's go to Target. Anything, really.
That's right. And yeah, I'm not saying that Gina hasn't gone through anything or what she's gone through has been really shitty. But yeah, it's not an excuse. You don't hang out with someone if you don't want to hang out with someone. Period. Just have the balls to say it. Just say, because I don't like you very much, so I don't hang out with you. Okay? Try hard. Instead of being like, I am the most hurt out of anybody, so I just don't go anywhere with anybody. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, she certainly invited Emily to places. And that's not to say that Shannon has to be the same as Emily. They have a different friendship. They're much closer. But the point is, you can't be like, I didn't invite anyone anywhere. Because he did invite people. Okay? And so she's like, I didn't invite anyone. And Shannon goes, but I did. I invited you to places. And she goes, well, thank you. And Shannon's like, well, why do I have to be the person to do all the work? That is a one-sided friendship. Okay, just my opinion. That is a one-sided relationship. And God, it is fun to do all the work and then complain about it on TV. That is a fun thing that I like to do, though. I'm not going to lie.
Gotta have a hobby. So Heather and Emily are talking, and Emily's like,
Shannon and Emily went to talk. Shannon and Butzerbuns, Gina went to talk. So that's good. Maybe they'll work things out.
And Heather goes, crosses her arms and squints. And she's also got this weird hair where the middle of her hair is pulled back into a tiny ponytail, but the sides are long. She just looks crazy. So she's like, so what is the problem?
And then they just cut away from her. And Gina goes, you know what? In all honesty, over and over again, you're constantly bringing up to different people that you got me in touch with Mike Fell. Okay, who's the attorney? And Chad's like, well, yeah. Well, connecting Mike with Gina kept Gina from being arrested in front of her kids. If Gina were the one to do that for me, I'd be thanking her all the time. But I of course, I don't need thanks. I'm a very selfless person.
I would not need that.
It's funny because I connected with Mike Fell to get her out of prison, and then I'm the one who wound up in prison, friendship prison, with Gina. See, I did that. It's wordplay.
Who better to help your friend with danger than someone who's always just have suffered from it? I mean, his name is Fell.
And he can't get up.
So Gina's like, but I did connect you with him. Gina. And she goes,
yeah, but it bothers me, though. Like, I understand, Shannon, and I appreciate it, but it's like something that happened 3 years ago in my life.
Really? Because you were just saying you're so miserable that you can't invite anybody anywhere, referencing your past. So,
yeah. And I mean, so basically. Yeah, and it's, I mean, we're starting to, it's starting to make a little bit more sense to me, really, what's going on here. You know, basically, she's like, she wants to, like, close that chapter, and Shannon's always, like, very happy to open it a little bit, but she doesn't really want to close it because she does bring it up still, but she wants to bring it up on her terms, not on Shannon's terms. So Heather's like, well, you know what? It's funny because Gina told me the day that I met her and Shannon in a very, very small novelty-sized car called a Toyota or something like that. Anyway, she brought up this divorce and her DUI, and I had just met Gina. And then we see 3 months earlier an example of Shannon talking about Mike Fell.
And the example was Gina being like, oh yeah, you know, like when I got arrested for my DUI or whatever. And Heather said, you got a DUI? And Gina was like, oh yeah, I sure did. And Shannon goes, and she was about to get arrested until I saved her.
I don't need thanks. Thank you, though.
Oh, so Gina, she's like, you know, I mean, like with Heather in the car, you brought it up and that's not cool. And she's like, then why would you just not say that? She goes, because I tried to get over it. I tried to think, is Shannon just going to stop being mean? Because it feels mean, Shannon. It feels mean.
I have been nothing but kind to you, Gina. Do you not remember when we had Chef Noodles over and we ate hibachi? That was one of the kindest things I have ever done in my life.
I think Gina is suffering from that. You know when they say don't ever loan a friend money because all they'll do is resent you and try and start, because they'll owe you, you know, and then they'll try and start coming up with reasons to be mad at you and all of this stuff. And that's exactly what Gina's doing. But you're friends with Heather now and you're a taker, you know, like there are givers and there are takers and you, ma'am, are a taker. Okay. And what do you think is going to happen with that? She's going to start resenting Heather because of all the shit she's getting. Now, that said, Shannon is a dick about this whole.
I was just going to say, let's move the pendulum the other way, because there is some pendulum movement.
Shannon is a dick about this stuff, but Gina has spent the whole season coming for Shannon and undermining Shannon and saying, Shannon's guilty. She's jealous of me. Look at her face when I mention my product. Like, she's trying to turn everybody against Shannon this whole time, and it's all because she got you a lawyer. Like, I understand Shannon needs to shut up. Like, you don't brag about gifts and, like, talk about how indebted people should be to you all the time. That's shitty. But Gina couldn't just say it. Instead, she just tries to bring the woman down on TV. Weird.
Yes, she has misdirected anger, and she basically did not confront Shannon about this. Because I agree. Shannon doing this, like, I can totally see why it would be so annoying. Because you're sort of like, okay, we get it. You got me the lawyer. Now you're sort of like, it's over, like you keep on bringing this back up and it's almost like you want all this credit and it feels like an imbalance in the friendship and yada, yada, yada. But ultimately, Shannon's point stands the most, which is like, well, if I was annoying you by doing this, you should have said something to me. Instead, you've gone down this entire path of passive aggression.
Right. And so Gina's like, you know, you didn't even do it to be kind. You did it to self-promote because you're a self-advocator. You want to write this hero story about yourself and you see through a fog lens. Look, there's so much mixed up there that I'll just let it pass.
I love Gina accusing Shannon of being a self-promoter on the same episode where Gina is throwing a party to self-promote her new brand.
While threatening not to let Shannon come to her self-promotion party.
So Shannon goes back to her new thing. She's like, you know what, Gina, you know what you need to do? Put a pin in it. Put a pin in it.
So back to Emily and Heather, and now Jen is there. Emily's like, well, Shannon was talking about how Gina has this overinflated sense of self, and she was arrogant, and she needs to put a pin in it. You started this whole thing, Emily. She never said that. She only said she needs to put a pin in it and has the ego because you were saying that Gina thought that Shannon was jealous. I mean, I can't.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I get so mad, and then I hear myself repeating what the argument is, and I'm like, get a life. Like, you need to not be angry over this.
And Emily's like, yeah, I had to look that up, put a pin in it. I had to look it up to see what that meant. And Dr. Jen is like, that's not the correct term. It's like what I say to Ryan. It's not the correct name. And Heather goes, oh, let me explain. It's like, I'm going to put it on a bulletin board, which is what people in offices have, okay? And I'm going to stick a pin in the bulletin board, like I'm going to discuss it later. So an example would be like, Jen and I have a chicken thing. I think about chicken and I put a pin in it, knowing I will bring chicken in the future. You're welcome.
Okay, Heather, the person. Compare it with punitive. Okay, compare it with punitive, Heather. So, also, I didn't know that that's... First of all, I thought it was correctly used because her ego is inflated and she needs to pop it. Like, your head is getting big. Pop your head is what I think she means. So, it is used correctly. And I also thought the term, put a pin in it, it means, like, hold on, let's hold
right,
the discussion right now. But I thought it comes from putting the pin back in the grenades before the grenade explodes. Is that where it comes from?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know the roots of put a pin in it as an expression. But I did think it was funny in retrospect, now that we're talking about it, that Heather had to like literally give a visual illustration of putting a pin in something to hold for later. Like when you just said it, right, it's like putting a pin in it means wait for later. And it is also funny that Shannon is using an idiom or a metaphor for a different metaphor. Like it's not a mixed metaphor because she is using it correctly. She created a new metaphor with another metaphor. It's pretty deep.
Oh, so then back to Gina and Shannon. Gina's like, I'm sorry, Shannon. I'm sorry I like myself. I'm sorry that I'm in a good place. I'm sorry that I feel good about myself. I'm just so sorry, Shannon. Oh my God. Take off that, put on a normal jacket. You're making me crazy.
Put on a blazer that fits properly. Shannon's like,
Shannon, I am very sorry. I'm happy.
As if that's the problem, that Shannon hates your happiness.
Yeah. I mean, she probably does. I don't think that Shannon is comfortable with people's happiness, but she's like,
look, you know what the funniest part of this is? I am so freaking busy in good ways, okay? I have never been better with my kids. They are staying awake in public school, I'm happy to say. Never been in a better personal relationship. There's John over there drinking his sixth tequila. Hi, John, hi. He'll notice me later. And never before have I been better in my business, real for real, where I do infomercials that air somewhere in this world, okay? And you're questioning if I'm jealous? There's no arrogance in that, Gina. Are you kidding me?
At the end of the day, get nothing for nothing. I feel bad for you, Shannon. I'm not going to circle the drain with you.
And so she gets up, like, kind of starts snottily walking away. And Shannon's hands are just doing the, like, wow, why am I waving the mosquitoes towards my face thing? And she's like, you feel bad for me? Gina, I hope one day you can get to my level.
I'll tell you why I am waving the mosquitoes towards my face, because I am a giver. And if I have to give blood to every single one of these mosquitoes, that way they can have happy mosquito lives, I will do it. And I will not ask for thanks in return. Although I did give a lot of blood to that mosquito over there. You're welcome.
And Gina's just like, well, yeah, wish I could get up to where you are, Shannon. Maybe one day I'll make that bar, huh?
And Shannon's like, Gina, put a pin in your ego, Gina. Unbelievable.
Well, it's like a bowling alley with only 9 of those things. I have to say, put a pin in it so I can get a strike.
So Gina's like, you know what? I wore nice shoes here today just to make sure I could stand on the ground, okay? And that's what I did.
How unbelievable. Are you fucking kidding me? I am now at the part of the party where I pace in a corner and say, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So she goes up to Jen and Emily, and Emily's like, what happened? I mean, success for you. So yes. Shannon's like, well, I'm not jealous of Gina. And she just said she feels pity for me. I have been nothing but kind to her. And Emily's like, well, okay, but you did say that night when we had dinner, you did say she was arrogant. You let her into it. Oh,
yeah, you said that.
How does Emily get away with all this shit? It's making me crazy.
If someone comes up to me and is like, oh, like, you know, Fran Drescher says that you're jealous of her, I'd be like, wow, that's arrogant. I mean, I am jealous of Fran Drescher. I don't know why I went to Fran Drescher as my example, but I did. But you would say, it's not like Shannon just like sat down and was like, you know what I think about Gina? Let's all address the elephant in the room. She is an arrogant motherfucker. She didn't say that.
Yeah, but Shannon can't ever argue, right? She always, like, she's the easiest person to trigger, and she never handles it the right way. She's like, well, yeah, I said she was arrogant because she questioned me and said, well, do you even have any friends, Shannon? I mean, that is arrogant. That is arrogant.
So then Gina's talking to Heather, and she's like, I mean, it just never goes the way you think it's going to go. And you try, and you try. And Heather's like, well, what did she say? She says, well, how dare you think that I'm jealous of her? And Heather goes, ugh, again? Oh, girlfriend. Heather's trying to sort of like, she's like just building her alliance there with Gina a little bit, you know, and just being totally like, oh, this is crazy. Crazy, crazy Shannon.
So Gina says, yeah, I think that Shannon is a naturally selfish person. Like, she has to work on being excited for me. And she said maybe one day I can get to her level. And Heather's like, well, maybe one day she'll be able to afford herself a toy of Ta. That would be...
What are they? Camrons? Is that what they're called? Toyota Camrons? So Heather's like, you know, I am so happy for Shannon, that she's happiest she's ever been. I mean, she's as happy as anyone I can imagine who doesn't know Richard Marx. And why does she have to keep expressing how happy she is? I mean, she's like, I'm happy, I'm happy. I mean, are you happy? Can you really be that happy in that size house? Let's be honest.
I love this from Heather, though, the person who's constantly walking around talking about how rich she is. That's why I don't believe that Heather, I don't believe Heather and Terry are worth anything near what they act like. And I cannot wait to see the criminal proceedings or at least bankruptcies coming their way at some point, because I just don't buy it. And that's why it's like people walking around, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Is this even a door? Like, I just don't buy it.
I agree.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Heather and Shannon are with Emily and Noella now. And Heather asks what happened. And Shannon's like, she says, I'm jealous of your friendship with you, which is, I mean, it's just not true.
Well, if I can get into the mind of a poor person for a second and interpret Gina's feelings, she feels that you are not being supportive of her and that you are upset that she's in a good spot. And what I would say is, let's talk about me. So we go to New York and I was so excited and I thought, oh, Shannon's calling. I love hearing from the needy. And she must be calling to ask about my live show, you know, because everyone wants to know, how did your talk to 40 people in the Student Center basement in Syracuse University go? I mean, everyone knew about it and it was none of that. And later I heard she said, we're going to have more fun than we are. And I was like, is that why you called me? Ugh. We're talking about me, right? This is what tonight's about.
And Shannon just purses her lips. She's like, She's like, she's going to bring up me not calling about her podcast. Are you fucking kidding me? And Noelle's like, listen, there was a vibe at that party. And, you know, the vibe was feeling left out. That was the vibe. She's like, but we wanted you to have fun. It's not a competition, which is why. Did you notice she did the pulling the pasta out of a bowl with her fingers thing?
She's
like, which is why I said in the very beginning, do you wish that you were at that stupid cooking class or are you glad you're with me instead?
I was really paying attention to Heather's hand gesture. She did a lot of, one thing she does is she clasps her hands like she's going to do the church and the steeple thing. And then she flops one over the other. It's like she's in like a thumb war with herself, except it's not thumbs. It's like hand war. And she sort of does this and she's like, and then she hunches forward and she goes, I'm going to communicate through my clasped, uneven hands. And you will hear me, because I'm approachable by doing this.
Mm. But it's not a competition. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, Shannon just stating the obvious isn't a bad thing. And Heather goes, okay, you know what? Do I have to walk away now because I can't finish a sentence? Okay? This is private. Okay, this is private, Noella. And Noella's like, one, I'm just saying that I disagree. You're good. And Heather walks away. Noella's like, too much.
Every time Noella's around, she cannot stop talking, always interjecting her opinion, even if it doesn't involve her. And you know what I say to interjections? I say, why did no one interject about my podcast at Syracuse University? Why?
It was punitive. That was just punitive. You were just interrupting Shannon to interject your own interpretation of what Gina was feeling. This is none of your fucking literally business either. Shut up, you button-eyed, flat-topped monster. Get out.
So then, meanwhile, inside, Jenna's trying to... She's workshopping some personality. And so she's like, guys, I have a laser pointer. Look. Hey, I've got a laser. Now it's pointing at your head. Now it's at your head, and now I just pointed at an airplane, and now an airplane just crashed in my backyard. It's fun.
Someone take the laser away from me. So then Shannon sits with John, and she's like, oh, John, I'm tired, John. Like, and the thing she said to me, John, she said, I have nothing but pity for your life. And he goes, oh, fuck her. Fuck Gina.
I know. It was hilarious. She goes, that is the most ridiculous comment. Fuck her. She's not your friend. We're done with her. Who the fuck does she think she is?
It's like, okay, sweetie, calm down. Okay. You're one drink from your dad having to come pick you up on the golf course. Okay.
I, really? I was I sometimes forget that I was expecting you just to eat a potato chip in my face while I talked about this. I wasn't expecting a real reaction. Okay, calm down.
So then Jen is having a moment with Ryan. Jen's drunk, okay? You know, because she's had inflection in her voice. She's being playful, and she's smiling at her husband. So,
yeah.
Wasted. So she's like, so did I make, like, brain science understandable? And he's like, yeah, it could be a TED Talk. Did I do this right? Did I do it right?
He's like, we should record that and put that on TED. She's like, it's close enough. Thanks, man. He goes, yeah, man.
Can I have a kiss? Great. Can I get a kiss now?
He like blows a kiss.
No, like in person, like a kiss, like a real kiss. No, can but you like
angle your chair.
Yeah, like kiss me at an angle.
At an angle.
No, just kiss me better. All yeah, right. Like do it
rotate.
Again. Try it again.
Another percent.
Try it again.
A little bit more.
Little but hot. I said TED Talk. I get something for that, right?
So hey, Heather, could you? Hey, lovely. Could you stop shining a laser in my eyeball? Maybe I'll kiss you then. Thanks.
So Heather and Shannon, Heather pulls Shannon aside. And she's like, can I speak with you privately? Listen, I was upset. You have nothing to be upset about. You had a whole fucking episode and a whole fucking camera crew for your stupid, boring trip to wherever to hear your stupid podcast and your stupid sorority house. Every other 5 seconds has been about you and your new TV show and your new that it's been an ad for something, and now you're gonna cry to Shannon of all people, who you threatened like you were the head of the fucking mob because Shannon hurt your feelings by not asking about your podcast.
Yeah, this is a flimsy claim at best.
Well, I mean, you understand how hurtful when people put labels on you that are inaccurate, you know, and Gina has done that multiple times to me, and I am hurt by that.
And so Heather's like, well, but you've done that to me in the past. You did call me pretentious. Hold on a second. I'm getting a phone call from Nobu. Hi. Oh, great to hear from you, too. Great. Yeah, I'd love to have a party with you and then not eat any of your food. Great. Bye.
She said,
okay, what was
labels,
this about pretension?
She said put labels on you that are inaccurate, okay? Pretentious is accurate, okay? You may not like a label, but neither does peanut butter. I still have to know what it is before I open the fucking jar, okay, peanut butter?
So, yeah. So then Shannon is like, Shannon lets out the tirade, a mini tirade that she's wanted to let out all season long. She's like,
well, you said a lot about me too. You said I was scary angry when I was walking out of a restaurant.
And then we get a flashback of the chair scene from many years ago of like, wow, the way she walked out of that bathroom to that chair. Horrific. So scary. I was scared. I thought I should leave. Very, very scary.
Never forget how terrible Heather is. And it's so funny because that's still what scars Shannon, and still what Heather's bringing up is from way back then too, when Shannon was like, oh, stop being so condescending, Heather Dubrow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so then we see another clip of that, of saying,
and you said that I was yelling at you in my living room,
and we see that. So Heather's like, well, I wasn't going to go there, okay? And Shannon's like,
but you are going there, Heather Dubrow, you are.
No, I wasn't. Here, let me clasp my hands. See, not going there. That proves it.
I'm trying to have an honest conversation here about something none of my business. It's none of my business.
I know.
And so Shannon's like, well, look, but people keep having these conversations and you have it enough times and people start believing it. And I'm a supportive friend and that's it. And Heather's like, bye. Kisses her. And she tells us, when you have to tell people that they feel, when you have to tell people how good of person you are, I don't know, you know, I'm the best friend, can't you tell at the end of the day you need to purchase people, not just impress them. Gina, I got you a purse.
So now it's the next day and we're seeing what all the ladies are doing around the county.
I'm so sorry to do this. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
I'm so sorry. No, it's not, because I ended it and then I was like, no, wait, but I have to say one
more thing. I literally
don't
care. I'm fine. I want to hear what you have to say.
When Heather says, when you have to tell people how you are, that's a problem. You have a hashtag play sign that's huge and lit in your house. Fun, Heather.
I know, okay. That's right. So now, speaking of huge signs, we go to Dr. Jen taking her kids to see her new billboard, which is like, it's just on this like this sad block, like a shoe repair store. And like, you just sort of see a tattered, in the distance, you see a tattered banner that's like, come in to like Cricket Wireless or something. And the kid and her kids
and
are like,
it says, frown lines.
It sounds like she's selling them, selling frown lines. You want to get a frown line like I have? Come to Armstrong.
Frown lines, crow's feet, angry 11s. Frown lines, crow's feet, angry 11s. It's like the most depressing ballpark seller of all time.
You literally were singing my one line from the sixth grade production of A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, where I would come on stage and go, pencils, paper, only a nickel, mister. That was my line. The entire musical. Yeah.
So I was in a musical called Diamonds, and I had to walk through the audience going, peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jacks.
Peanuts, no wonder we found popcorn, each other.
Cracker Jacks.
We were both cast as salesmen in the Great Depression or something. Little boy
we have
salesman.
Neither of us have worked at a ballpark, but we've both pretended to. For the
we've been. We know what it's like to be a little page boy, little newsy.
FFL, bitch. FFL.
So anyway, they're looking at this sign and she's like, isn't this sign great, kids? And the kids are like, yeah, it looks like you when you were younger.
So then we go, we go to Heather shopping with Coco for a card for Cat, and the daughter Cat. And Heather goes, oh, there's a rainbow card. Is that too on the nose? And Coco goes, yeah, I don't even really know what that means, but yeah.
Oh, it's when you have a nose and you're standing next to a bulletin board and you want to put something on your nose, but you've pinned it to the bulletin board. You see where this is going, right, Coco?
So Gina is planning her party. She's like, oh my god, we're gonna have a step and repeat here, then we can have a good swag bag that's gonna be real good. It's gonna be like Oprah good.
It's gonna have like Smarties in it and like some like twisty ties or something. It'll be like a very sad club bag.
Sorry, I thought there was a comma there.
Oh no, that was that and that like, there in, like, there in itself bag, sums like, up that sums up what Gina's bag is, that there's a comma and nothing else. There's only two of the three things that one would expect in a comedy beat.
That's the comma that people get through as they look through that bag, where they're just look.
I found some Smarties, I found twisty ties, and
So let's see. Now we are with Noella. Oh my God, Noella and her meeting with Kate, teacher of conscious relationships.
Yeah. Well, for crying out loud, even sleeping people are hooking up now. I'm such a loser.
Well, that would be unconscious relationships, I would imagine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's actually someone there to help with awake relationships.
So she's like, oh my god, Noella, like, to say that you're going through a lot is an understatement.
So Noella's like, yeah, Kate's kind of my soul's translator, and like, I love this because like, I've done ashrams and psychics and sound baths and reiki, I did some ayahuasca, and I did vortexes in Arizona, a lot of wine, a lot of booze. Yeah, it's been great.
So she's like, well, angry is a feeling du jour. And Kate's like, yeah, because it's like the ending of dreams and chapters and ghost dreams. Yeah. Mansions. Wow. Credit cards that are turned on.
Oh, hey, is this supposed to be helping me or hurting me?
She's like, I don't know, but I'll take your money. So basically, it's like daddy issues. Daddy issues, the scene. You know, she's repeating her cycle with her dad, you know, that Noella was always trying to be beautiful and get straight A's because she thought that would make her dad love her more. But her dad only really came around when he needed to look like a family man for, you know, in the public, etc.
And then we go, Emily goes over to Gina's house. So they're like, what do you wear for this kind of thing? Like, what are we about to do? I don't even know what to wear. And Gina tells us, we're doing this today because something is haunting me.
Yeah. She's like, something has, like, affected me to my core ever since the sweat lodge. Like, something has changed me.
It's an ego. It's an ego. Put a pin in it.
So Emily thinks that she has a demon from Cabo. So they're going to have an exorcism type thing. And Gina's like, yeah, I can't sleep. I just can't sleep. You know what it is. So Gina's like, you know, I'm seeing things and I don't feel like it's like I'm crazy seeing things, but like I'm seeing things.
Maybe Travis is just like gaslighting her around the house just in like stupid ways. Like, was there always an onion here? There is no onion there. Just some classic onion gaslighting, which is about the level I would expect in Gina's house.
Or Heather could be doing it. You never know. Heather bringing that rack of clothes and just like unzipping it. I brought you one pink jacket, Gina. One pink jacket.
Oh, you brought me 20? One. One pink jacket, Gina. There's only one.
She literally let Heather into her house. Isn't that like the source of the demonology, right? Like, you let it in.
It might have been from opening that tiny door in the closet, remember? That tiny little door.
Yeah.
Heather crawled in there and went, hello! God, it's scary in here! That summoned some shit up right there. Heather's big Coraline's mom button eye face woke the dead.
I feel like Gina has just like relived the opening scene of Poltergeist every single night. Like her TV just goes staticky, but instead of a ghost like coming through the TV to her, the ghost is like trying to leave her and go into the TV, and she's like, they're leaving, and she just like pulls it back. Gina's just pulling
the ghost. The ghost is just like a moth pinging off the TV. It's like boing, boing.
It's like, hello, can someone open this TV door so I can get out of here, please?
So this lady, the extraction lady coming over, I mean, it just sounds terrifying. Okay.
Yeah.
An extraction lady? Like, are you stuck in a war zone? Is it a particularly bad, like, blackhead that you've got? Like, what's happening?
But her name is Shauna. Shauna, the psychic medium. And Gina's like, I went to this sweat lodge and it was in Mexico. It was indigenous. And like, we never finished the ritual.
Yeah, and Emily goes, yeah, it was very indigenous.
Like, oh, okay. So Shauna's like, well, okay, I gotta think on the fly here. Well, if there's not a closing or not closure, then there's an opening. And that's when you can bring something home. That works, right? That sounds good, right, everyone? That sounds
good. It's ridiculous. So she's like, I'm gonna pull it out of your mouth. Okay. And then we get like the trombone clown music.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina's like, oh, I didn't even declare my demon with customs. And the lady starts pretending she's pulling out of her mouth and then going,
just blowing it out the closed window. Right? The window's closed, right? Whatever it is, she's just blowing it.
You just hear the ghost like, ow!
I know. I love that there's a demon, this horrifying, scary demon, but it's like its weak point is being blown on. It's like, oh no, I must be fine. It's like a very lightweight demon that can be blown out.
Jesus.
What up?
We wear masks in 2022, Shauna.
I may be a demon, but at least use some protocols. So she's just pulling this demon out and she's like, oh, it's a little creepy crawly. And she's like, ugh, it's creepy crawly all over me. It's creepy crawly, but very susceptible to being blown away.
It's all over me. Oh, oh yeah, feels so much better. Okay, now Gina, say this contract is complete. And Gina's like, this contract is complete. She's like, okay, that'll be a few $100s. And lady over there who made offensive indigenous comment, come here and look at her eyes. They're clearer now, right? And Emily's like, oh, I think they're like a different color green, because I think now they're light green, but I think that before they were dark green.
Yes. Because maybe she's standing in different lighting now. So Gina's like, wow. And then I actually liked Emily's comment, which was so bonkers. She goes, wow, that extraction worked. I just hope it's not in my car because I parked across the street. I like this demon. This out of luck demon going from Gina to Emily's car. Like, oh, I'm safe at last in this mid-sized sedan. Like, oh, I heard there's a girl named Christine I'm supposed to meet up with.
Shane, I think I brought home a demon.
Does it cock?
Well, brought home a demon. Oh, God, it's been that time you bought a gremlin. Get it?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So over at Jen's office, Heather comes and she's like, oh, hello, you want to see something crazy? I have red marks on my wrist because in my boxing class, personal, master bedroom, I could have walked downstairs, but I was exhausted. I didn't tie the boxing gloves all the way. I said, instead, get me the quick ties. And so whatever his name was, got back in his car, drove through the two gates to get back to the store, to get back to the two gates. I mean, it took forever. Anyway, my arms are red.
Thank God for Alfredo Holyfield for fixing my hands. Also, I love that she walked into the office holding Starbucks the same way she held that coffee, which is that she basically, I guess it's a thing with like fast food. She just doesn't want to touch it. She purchased it up high, like she's a waitress at a club bringing a happy birthday. You know, like in the clubs when they bring the birthday, like the champagne bottles with the sparklers in it, they hold them high up here.
Heather holds everything. That's how she holds her purse.
She just is holding this coffee up here, perched up high over her ear.
That's Heather. That's her hold. So Jen's like, I can prescribe you something if you want. All right, come, let's have some girl talk while I watch you rub lotion on your wrists hilariously. Because Heather's like, okay, here's where we're going to do the scene with me rubbing lotion on my wrist. A camera's ready? Okay. So...
It's like the biggest rub. Like,
it's okay. I got a third round callback for a Lubriderm commercial once, so I know how to do this, okay? So she's like, Jen is like, well, what did you think about my event? Like, I think my speech, maybe I should have had 45 minutes. Maybe it was 45 minutes later than what I should have. Yes, and maybe shouldn't have had it at all. Could you please get that laser pointer out of my eyeballs? I'm trying to do a scene here with my skin.
So then we go to Emily calling Shannon. She's FaceTiming Shannon. And this is such a FaceTime with Shannon. I feel like every FaceTime with Shannon goes like this. Oh, hi, Shannon. It's Emily.
Oh, well, I can't hear you. Your volume's down. So you're in slow motion. Okay, it's better now. Nope, still don't see you. Wait. Is your face moving at all? Or is that just your face? I'm trying to remember the last time I saw your face move. This is crazy. What? Hear me now?
Shannon, you put the phone down on the table. You're talking to your houseplant.
Well, I'm just not getting any reception on this thing.
So they're looking at this house in Aspen because
we'll need a change of scenery. Maybe mountains and pine trees will inspire us to get along until I tell everybody that Shannon was talking shit about him.
Yeah. And we see a flashback of her proposing this idea to Gina. And Gina's like, yeah, because Cabo was like so dramatic. You know, demons. Am I right, everyone? Mm-hmm. So then we cut back to Heather with Jen. And she's like, I am so excited to go to Aspen with you. Although I'm concerned
about the weight I'm bringing on the plane.
That was not the line that I had rehearsed, so no, I'm gonna push past that. I'm concerned about some of the other women.
Shannon wants a yes man, and I'm not gonna be her yes man. And maybe it's a good chance for her to say something nice to Gina, like,
I mean, I don't know, congrats on your success, like, why does Gina care anyway what Shannon thinks? Like, I don't need validation from anybody. I mean, except everybody, really. I mean, I do have a billboard. That's validation, right? Do you count that as someone who loves you? It did try to kiss me. It was just too high up. I was like, could you come down a little bit? Come down. Angle down.
By the way, just for the record, we actually don't validate parking here. So Ryan asks every single time. He's like, can you validate me? Can you validate me? I said, no, can't do that for you.
frown lines.
Anyway, the point of this, I'm very concerned about this because, you know, the private jet is so small and there's just not a lot of room for all the soup cans I'll be donating to our castmates, you know?
So then back with Emily and Shannon, Emily's like, you know, I spoke with Gina and she seemed to be more reasonable. You know, she did admit that she said stuff that was mean to you. So you should go to her party, work it out, and we can celebrate Gina. And Shannon goes,
Okay, can't wait to. And, you know, I really enjoy my growing friendship with Emily. I don't want animosity between me and Gina. So, like, but if this is what she wants, you know, she should stop stirring drama and misconstruing things to Gina about me. I'm overwhelmed. So,
and Emily's like, well, your makeup looks really good right now. And Shannon's like, oh, my God, my boobs. But said your makeup looks good. Like, what the hell? So then Shane and Emily. Okay, now I've made Emily interesting. I just put Emily and Amelie.
I just want to send this garden gnome across the world and see if anybody falls in love.
So they have like a private chef in the kitchen making stuff. And Shane's like, shouldn't you be taking notes so you can do this for us next time? Emily is saying how she basically like burned chicken nuggets, so she's not going to cook anything.
She's having a big chicken nugget season. I think this is like the fifth time she's mentioned her chicken nuggets. So Perry and Larry and the family and Shane's cousin Tara, who looks just like Alexis Bellino. I got so excited for a second, but nope, it was just some lady named Tara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they show up and Emily is like, you know, the difficult thing about growing up with a father and like growing up with a single mom is like and not having much money is that it's just like really hard. I want to give my children more than what I had. And unfortunately, all I have to give her is this demon that snuck into me in the car. It's very unfortunate.
It does smell lightly of pine, which is nice. So
so she just, if anyone was worried that Emily is going to stay as boring as ever, she's got a big event coming up and it's a photo shoot for the whole family. And the theme is going to be weddings because when they got married, their wedding sucked because there were kids running around and it was a nightmare. So now they're going to just do wedding photos with the whole family.
And Emily wanted to talk Shane into a vow renewal, but he wouldn't do it because of the vow renewal curse, which, like, if any you know, couple is going to get the vow renewal curse, it would be these two. So this is actually a pretty smart move on Shane's part.
Yeah, it really was. So then we go over to Noella getting ready, and she's putting on eye makeup, and her mom Nancy's there. And she's like, you're just doing so much eye makeup, honey. And she's like, well, I'm going to cry it all off once I see the ladies. You know, I'm going to get that hug, and then it's just going to...
Because her dad died. So,
yeah, her dad passed away.
That's sad. You know, she talks about how she never, like, she doesn't live life with a lot of regrets, but the thing that she's going to regret for the rest of her life is that she did not she did not introduce her dad to her son, and she's always going to regret that. It was just, like, really sad. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was sad. Bummer. So then we go to Gina getting ready with a friend, Tatiana. Tatiana is so proud to see her friend up. God, Tatiana is such a good friend. Oh, really? Would Tatiana be such a great friend because she's giving you her house to throw your fucking party in? Yeah, you can use her. So you like, fucking Gina, such a user.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Gina can't have it at her house. So it's Caragella Day, guys. So then meanwhile, Shannon is at her place in Glam. And at first I thought she was practicing a speech, but I think maybe she was writing a card. And she's like, dear Gina, congratulations. I wish you nothing but complete success. And it has been an honor to be a wonderful friend to you for the past 4 years when no one else was. Oh, God. I almost fell over laughing. Emphasis on fell. Drop the mic, fell. Microphone and fell. Two separate concepts. I'm not bringing that up again.
Then we go back to Tatiana. Gina's like, well, you know, I hope that Shannon can table this discussion. By the way, thank you for renting all those tables, Tatiana. Oh, my God. And the caterer. That was great. And the bar.
That was really great.
And Tatiana's like, yeah, well, maybe if she can just ignore it for the night, it'll show that she's a bigger person. Is she going to be nice?
Well, I think it depends on how much time she spends around the boar.
Which is true, actually. So then we go to the Caragala party. And everyone's arriving. And she's like, oh, my God, you look so dapper. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, look around Tatiana's house. I just, like, see all these people who just, like, love me and believe in me and want to support me and want to be on TV and see my friends who are on TV. This is so exciting.
So her parents come, and they're so cute. And the mom's like, I like my eyelashes, Gina. Look at my eyelashes. Because, you know, she went and got threaded or something while she's in the OC.
Yeah. And Heather shows up without a poor person prop. She's like, well, I already went to Starbucks and this Kentucky fried something or another. It was a lot for me. So I'm going to skip the prop this time around.
Gina is her poor prop.
I know. So Terry's like, hey, where's the bar? I'm television's Terry DeBro. And then Heather's like kissing. Heather makes a big display for the rest of the episode about how she knows Gina's parents. Like, she's introducing them to every single person. Like, this is Susan and a man who is associated with Susan. Don't know his name, but he's poor, so I know that they're married.
So his name is Gene, and so Gene goes up to Terry, and he's like, well, Terry, hello, nice to meet you. We had a wonderful dinner in Manhattan with your wife. And Terry's like, that's right. He's like signing his forehead.
I know. He's like, you want an autograph? I'm trying to figure out what your game plan is here.
Is this a door? Is this a door? That's a father, Terry.
Terry, stop playing win, lose, or draw on Gina's father's forehead, okay?
So then Heather, of course, brings a gift for Gina, and it's, I think, a purse?
It's like a Chanel clutch or something. Of course. There was the prop. I was like, there's the prop, of course. She's like, well, I just want to give you a little piece from our trip to remind you how wealthy I am and how poor you are. Enjoy this.
And Gina's like, oh my God, our friendship means so much to me. And then Noella comes and she's like, hello. And Heather's like, bye.
Yeah, she gets like, out of there right away.
And Noella starts crying right away. And Gina's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She's like, it is a beautiful night, Gina. Have you noticed that she does that when she's like doing a little laugh, Noella? She goes, hoo, hoo, hoo.
She hoots like an owl. I haven't, but I'll probably notice it now. So
then, I'm sorry. Had that already happened? Okay, so then Emily's telling Heather that Noella's dad died. So everyone's kind of finding out about Noella. And then Jen and Ryan come. Then there's a huge photo of Gina on an easel, just looking at a bottle of something without a brand name on it. Because it's is Housewives, so God forbid someone knew how to brand something.
Caragala.
So, they're basically joking about this giant photo and saying it would be perfect for Shannon's gym because that's where Shannon has that giant portrait of her on the wall. And then we find out that Gina was supposed to meet, well, we knew that Gina was supposed to meet with Shannon for coffee the day before, but she bailed because she's like, you know what, I'm just like way too wound up and I just don't think we're going to do this. So they just didn't have their coffee.
And so Gina's like, I mean, guys, it's not like getting joy hurt and feelings. It was just a bad moment. And Noelle's like, well, we've all had our bad moments. We apologize for it.
Dr. Jen, may I introduce you to two very important people? These are Gina's parents, Susan and Gene. Now, don't touch. We haven't sanitized them yet. But you can look and you may take a picture. Flash is not recommended.
And Gene's like, well, hello, Brian. He's like, Ryan. You kidding with me?
Dad's just like, Dr. Jen's loving it. She's like, do it again. So Noella's, you know, is thanking the ladies for being supportive and everything and saying she choked up reading some of their text messages, or she is choking up reading some of their text messages, etc. And then Shannon shows up and she's like,
oh, wow, how exciting. What a lovely event that I'm not jealous about. I'm just here as a supportive friend, not asking for anything in return. I'm just going to smile and sort of look down at my cheeks and just smile some more.
Shannon actually came in trying to be the most positive Shannon of all time, you know, because she knows she's going to be accused of being jealous. So she's like, hello. That really tight Shannon smile that she gets. Yeah. And so Gina is like, I gotta go to the bathroom. But then she comes out and Emily's like, can you say hello to Shannon? And she's like, I would love to say hi. Hi, Shannon.
Oh, hi. This is a wonderful party. I love you have a sign that's lit. How exciting that you know how to use light bulbs. Wonderful. Just wonderful.
And Gina's like, I didn't know you were going to come. She goes, of course I'm going to come. Oh, my God. What am I falling? No, I already fell. And now I get back up. Right, everybody?
Oh, you know, a good friend is someone that is there for you, who is completely loyal and truly values the friendship and puts the time in. And that's me. Time. Remember time? I heard you went to the Time Hotel, Gina. That represents my investment in you. So
she gives her a gift, and it's this glass butterfly that's really pretty. And she's like, oh, it's a lucky butterfly. Not that you need luck. Oh, gosh, but it is a butterfly. You know, who were nasty little worms before they were transformed, which hopefully you will be. So, great party. Gina's like, okay, maybe I can fit this in my Chanel.
Oh, that's a beautiful gift that's worth 1/5 of the gift that I gave her. Lovely.
So, let's see. So then, Ryan is doing his hors d'oeuvre stand-up over there with Travis, his biggest audience. So the hors d'oeuvre person comes up to Ryan and he's like, hey, what's the limit on that? Like, can I just take the tray? And Travis is like, ha, 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 ha. This guy.
And then Noella's talking to Dr. Jen and she's like, by the way, Jen, the flowers that you sent were so beautiful, and I thought, like, that touch when you opened up the wrapping and a laser pointer gets you right in the eyeball was just perfect. And I tried to tag you, but you gotta unblock me, girl.
Jen's like, not happening. Hope you did like the card, though. It said, frown lines.
Just her billboard in card form.
So Travis jokes with Gina. He's like, wow, this setup is beautiful. It's all white. Your parents are here. It's almost a wedding. Hey, did you hear that guy's hors d'oeuvre humor? It's some good shit. Ryan, get over here. Ryan, Gina's will like, you marry me?
Gina's like, hold off, Travis. We're working on the bro for the wedding venue. Okay, we're almost at it. Mm. So then Shannon meets Gina's parents. And once again, Heather's like, Shannon! This is Jean and Susan, who I know because they had dinner with me the day after I had a podcast in Syracuse. Continue.
And the mom's like, Shannon, I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for the gift of Mike Fell. It changed the trajectory of my daughter's life.
And she's like, oh. Me? I didn't do anything. I was a conduit. I was just a mortal vessel doing God's work. That's how I was.
Thankfully, I love doing karaoke, so I have a tiny little karaoke mic and a speaker in my purse. Say it again, and boom, mic fell. Thank you. That'll be all for tonight. Thank you so much for coming. 2-for-1 wings is now over.
Every rose does have a thorn, okay? And it's named Gina.
So, yeah, that was a great moment of redemption that happened for Shannon. So then we cut to Heather. She's just over talking to Jen. She's like, so Terry and I, we've just been working so hard on ordering our waiters around. So we decided we're going to go back to Cabo. We're going to go little Rancho Relaxo, you know, eat and drink and have hotel sex. Am I right, ladies?
Ugh. And Jen goes, I had sex last night. And everyone's like, oh my God, yes, Ryan, you did it. And Emily's like high-fiving Ryan. So then Heather comes up to Shannon. Shannon's at the buffet. And Heather goes, Put down that cheese.
Oh, I'm kidding, Shannon. You look so good. You really look fabulous.
You fuck look so her. Oh.
So then Gina's like, well, she's like, you guys, it's really special to have everyone around me tonight. And it's so glad you guys are all here. And they cut to the crowd. Did you notice Perry was there? And she was standing in front of the crowd with her hands on her hips like, ha, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's me, Perry.
Guys, I would just like to say G is for Gina. A is for absolutely. T is for thrilled. H is for hair care, which maybe I'll get soon. E is for everybody liking my speech. And R is for, really? Is this speech going on? Thank you for believing in me, everybody. Gather!
I'm ashamed of how many letters I had to wait to understand where that was going. I was like, G-A-T-H. I have never played that on Wordle. So Gina's basically saying, she's like, oh my god, like if it weren't for Travis, like he put me back together and like and so she's just like crying and he's crying and everything, and you know, and she's like, oh my god, and he's from Orange County, I never would have thought. So,
and Emily tells her, every day I want you to wake up and look in the mirror and say, I'm a badass bitch. And Jen's like, nailed it. Yeah, nailed it.
And then it goes black and white and it goes 5 days later. And you just see Shannon in a cowboy hat going,
you know what, Gina? I don't know that you do want to get along with me. You know what? That's what I gotta say.
And Gina's in a Heatherbot poncho going,
I'm making an effort.
I never. Janet,
I mean, then it just starts going crazy. How dare you? In my wildest dreams, did I think I was about to go to crazy town?
And then the preview for next week looks, I don't know if it's a preview for next week or just for like the general vacation, but things look absolutely deranged. It's going to be wild.
Yes. And Noella is going to accuse Heather of pushing the cameraman. It's going to get good.
It's going to get good. And you know what? Thank God, because you know what? It occurred to me, we're doing Orange County next week in San Francisco. So it's going to be a wild and wacky show out there.
Yes, we should tell people what we're doing. Yeah, why don't we do it right now? So next week in Denver, we will be doing Real Housewives of New Jersey, and we'll do Orange County in San Francisco.
It's going to be a wild one next week, both those shows. So go get your tickets at watchforcrappins.com, and we will see you there, okay?
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Watch What Crappins would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
Courtney Shamazing Shawdell. Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Last Namey.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just Saying, Okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's Always Supplying, It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's Our Queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, You Can't Have a Burger Without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, Always the Wiser, is Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're Taking the Gold with Brenda Silva.
She Leaves Us in Stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't Have a Meal Without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender. We Want to Hang with Liz Lang.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
No One Makes Us Feel Well Like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's Cheese on a Bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Let's Get Racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She Ain't No Shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.